Good morning. Remember last week we spoke of Christianity as an artesian well. Christ and all the benefits of Christ, how it impacts all of society. And I think we should feel that way a little bit this morning with that decision that went on at the Clovis School Board. This is a direct result of Christianity. In so many societies in the world today, that wouldn't even be considered to have a Bible club in the school. And you know that in America, there are powerful forces that would like to wipe out every semblance of Christianity in our society. But the light of Christ is like an artesian well that cannot be stopped. And it gives overflowing blessing to all Christians, but to non-Christians as well, even though they don't understand it. Well, that was kind of a little time out last week in which we talked about Christianity like an artesian well that has blessing after blessing after blessing to all of society. This morning we're going to continue the early life of Jesus, and we're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he, that is Jesus, was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up his arms and blessed him and God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. Let us pray. Father, this passage teaches many things, but the one essential thing that it teaches is that Jehovah is salvation. There is no other name given under heaven by which a person can be saved. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. May that be branded in our mind this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved people of God, some things that we do as a Christian church have a long tradition coming directly from the Old Testament. One long tradition that comes directly from the Old Testament is found in Genesis 17. It reads as follows. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your spring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The Christian church sees this as a key verse of the Old Testament, a key passage. And it is from this tradition of circumcision that in the New Testament we have the sacrament of baptism. And what is a sacrament? It is a sign of God's amazing work among us. It is something very visible, but it speaks of something that is an inward grace. How did that sacrament of baptism affect me when I was a little child of a few days old, or many of you? We cannot give 10 steps of how that all happened. But God claimed us. It was not my doing, it was His doing. And the Christian church today has two practices which are visible signs of Christ and His work of redeeming sinners. One is the sacrament of baptism, the other is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. They are signs and seals. Like the royal seal of an official document, of a government document, they are markers of God's activity and His seal of grace upon the believer. We belong to Jesus. And many of us, when we are tempted to do something that is wrong, are reminded inwardly by the Holy Spirit, wait a minute. You could do this. Nobody will see it. Nobody will remind you tomorrow. But my conscience tells me that I belong to Jesus. I am set apart. I am special. I am not to be like those who are the drug dealers of our society. I'm not going to join the drug cartel. I'm not going to wipe out people as was done in Goshen, California. I am going to be one of those who walk the straight and narrow way. Yes, I'm tempted, but I belong to Jesus. And when others ridicule me and say, you're not with it, the Holy Spirit will remind me that the Lord is like an artesian well within my heart and soul that gives me endless joy and satisfaction to be identified as a Christian. I want to bear his name with dignity and distinction. Now, why was Jesus circumcised? The Bible says very clearly that Jesus was circumcised to fulfill the law. He was credentialed as a Jesus Jewish child. Apart from circumcision, even though he was of pure Hebrew stock, he would never be identified as Abraham's offspring. So his circumcision was for identification. Identification. He is one of those that is set apart. He has received a sign and a seal. He is one of God's covenant children. That's what Mom and I prayed for, especially when our children went to college. We now have grandchildren going to college, some of them thousands of miles away. Do you think that Mom and I are so naive that we don't think that they are tempted? Don't be foolish. But we pray that they will realize that they have been set apart. That the Holy Spirit will work among them so that they can say, wait a minute, I belong to Jesus. And if and when they fall, that they would be quick to repent. Wait a minute. Tonight I pray before I go to sleep. Lord, I do belong to you. I want to be one of yours. Then let us look beyond that and let us see what that circumcision really meant for Jesus. It was a token of God's grace in his life. Here he was, 8 days old, and God is saying to him, you are mine. You belong to Jesus. You are one of them that I'm identifying as one of his very own. And when we look at that name, Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation, that is the name that was given to him on two occasions much earlier. One by an angel to the father, as was thought, namely Joseph. And the other one, an angel as was given to Mary. You are God in human form. Maybe a fancy word for that is what we call the incarnation. And think about it. People who walk the street of any city or town around the world, that you have any idea whatever it means that Jesus is God in human form, Jehovah is salvation. And you see that name, Jesus, Jehovah, is not only a claim, it is a promise, and it is a privilege. We don't worry when people criticize us for that. We bear it proudly. And Jesus was circumcised to fulfill the law, that he would have all the credentials whereby the Hebrew people would have no excuse to say, you are not one of our own. He was one of theirs, no question about it. Now let's look at their purification. A little bit later, a few days later, then it was that they left Bethlehem to go about 6 miles north, and they went there for the purification. Now, as they were going on their way, what do you think were possibly some of the thoughts that entered their mind as they were going? What really transpired among them? And as they did that, they did it again as obedience to the law. But as they went, do you think that they reflected and they spoke to each other? God really provides. Here you were, Mary, required to go and enroll. We're both so unbelievably poor. And you had to either walk or ride that donkey for 100 miles. And we didn't know when the labor pains would come upon you. And yet God provided. I can't even imagine how I would have responded if that had happened to me. God provides. I have no idea where they slept. I have no idea what food was provided. I have no idea how they were protected from robbers. And then we came to Bethlehem, and how frantic I was to find a place for you. And there was none. But in our extreme poverty, in our extreme need, God was there just in time. And here we have this beautiful child, Jesus. And they go there to the temple. And as they go to the temple, they again have two amazing surprises. And that is a prophet and a prophetess. And as they go to the temple and they present their gift of the turtle dove and the pigeon, which is the presentation of a totally poor person, they think of washing away of sin. They think of God taking away any sense of guilt and self-deception. And there they come presently, and here is Simeon. He takes this little child in his arms. This man who is righteous and devout. And then there's a little phrase in the Greek language that says he was looking for the consolation of Israel. I looked that up pretty carefully, what that means. What that means, he as a person and the Hebrew people as a people who have always been living between superpowers and have had their nation overrun again and again, And how people suffer tremendously when they are overrun by superpowers. They are looking for a time of comfort. A time when they will be given peace and security. A time when God will take away their jeopardy. And the terrible circumstances in which they are living. The time in which their land will be truly free, not just a vassal kingdom from some other big power. And the Bible points out that we have this precious phrase, Simeon was looking to the consolation. Then we have these words, Lord, now let us now thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Put yourself in the position of Joseph and Mary. Wouldn't that not have been tremendously comforting and satisfying? Maybe they hugged each other and said, you know what? God's going to take care of us. This recognized prophet who is revered, he has a message from God that he is relating to us. My eyes have seen your salvation. The very name that you gave to us before the child was conceived. Here he repeats that again. Jehovah is salvation. But are we very different from them? I doubt it. Aren't there times in your life and aren't there times in my life when I need to hear from God, you are my salvation. My security is in none other. My hope is in you. You are my salvation. You are the source. And then comes kind of the dagger. And Simeon goes on, behold, in the Greek language that means, now listen carefully, that's what it means. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. The fall and rising of many in Israel. A sign that is opposed and a spear will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. Here is Jesus working miracles. Then as he advances in his ministry, he begins to tell them of the responsibility of discipleship. And then he goes on and says to them, now remember, following me means that people will hate you as they hate me. And as they are going to crucify me, so many of you will come under persecution. And people who are so-called friends will knife you in the back. It is a name that will be spoken against. And who people really are, I think, is always revealed. That's what history does. Just watch people. And time will reveal if they truly belong to Jesus or they do not. And I happen to think myself, and I'm not saying I'm correct on this, but one little manifestation of that stabbing in the back took place in Clovis last week. The evil one tried to put down what is good and godly. Darkness versus light. I don't have to tell you anymore. And here comes along the prophetess Anna. Right after the exchange with Simeon comes Anna. And she was a very unusual woman. She was of the tribe of Asher. She was an elderly, very elderly woman. And I found that the commentators are not all agreed on exactly how old she might have been. But she may have been somewhere between 85 and 100 years old. And then it says a most unusual thing about her. She had not departed from the temple since she became a widow lady, worshiping and fasting and prayer for day and night. What amazing woman. She is one who is a living representation of absolute believing that Jehovah is salvation. Her hope is in no other organization. Maybe she was one who was looked upon as a very odd person, or maybe a very godly person. The text doesn't really say. But we know that in the light of Scripture, she was a woman who made a dramatic impression on this young couple. She too saw this little child. God, Jehovah, is my salvation. What does this all say to us this morning as we are going to leave the house of worship in a few minutes? It should impress upon us that it is Jehovah, not any might or power, but it is Jehovah that delivers us through the heroics of the incarnation and the cross. If there had been no incarnation, if there had been no cross, there would be no artesian well, a blessing that we all benefit from. And Jehovah delivers us, even as he delivered Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna. What does the Bible say? He fills the hungry with good things, and the rich are left with no eternal hope whatever. I don't know why. I have no explanation. But some very uncanny things have happened in my life. And one of them is being in the hospital at just the right time when people are dying. Or being at a retirement home just at the time when people are dying. And I can think of people by name and by family. They are all gathered around this bed, and the family is singing. And as they are singing, the last breath is taken. They were very, very appreciative of the doctor, but they knew that the doctor did not have the power of life, even though he was extremely helpful. And here this family is singing, 6, 7, 8 of them, amazing grace. That grace that extends not only to mom or dad who is dying, but to every one of us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jehovah is our entire salvation, not a part of it. Because everyone knew who were gathered around there that that person who was passing away was a sinner. And if you are a child, you know all the shortcomings of mom and dad, right? Anybody here who doesn't have that problem? I do. But you know what I like about it? We all know that in spite of living in this world, and in spite of having the terrible impact of sin all around us, we are saved by no merit of our own, but by Christ and Christ alone. And then we move forward. Jehovah is our salvation. My hope is in Christ, who freely gives complete salvation. Living in Christ, our destiny is never in doubt. And I have always wondered, and I still do, how one can finally meet the end of his or her life without knowing Jesus. Because that Jesus is like an artesian well who gives us hope and comfort and security, knowing that our God is endlessly loyal and faithful. Now, as you receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, may you go on your way home this morning knowing this wonderful Jesus. Jehovah is our salvation. And you see, Jesus comes directly from the name Joshua in the Old Testament. Jehovah is salvation. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful opportunity that we have to praise your name. And may Jesus Christ live in our hearts, and may we overflow with gratitude toward him every day. And now as we receive this sacrament, may this bread be for us another confirmation that his body was broken. And may the drink be another vivid manifestation that he shed his blood for us. Amen.